540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Things are looking up in Hollywood. Striking writers and studios have reached a tentative agreement that could end the months-long strikes that have paralyzed the industry. Elaine Lowe is a staff writer at The Ankler.
If writers' rooms get back by October, then production is feasible by January. Of course, this is entirely dependent on whether the SAG-AFTRA strike gets resolved
and whether the tentative deal is approved by members of the writers' union. If it is, talk shows are expected to be the first to come back. Republicans on Capitol Hill are having a tough time agreeing on funding to keep the government up and running. Correspondent Nancy Cordes is in Washington.
A band of far-right Republicans argued this weekend that a government shutdown might be the only way to force Congress to spend less.
This dysfunctional Washington cannot continue.
Congress now has just 5 days to either pass 12 annual bills to fund the government or pass a short-term fix.
New Jersey's Democratic Senator Bob Menendez will weigh in soon on new criminal charges, accusing him and his wife of conspiracy to commit bribery, fraud, and extortion. CBS's Scott McFarland from Capitol Hill.
Senator Menendez has temporarily stepped down as chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, but has given no indication he'll step down from his Senate seat. In fact, he continues to deny the allegations and will face cameras this morning amid calls for him to go.
New attack in Ukraine. They're cleaning up near Odessa, where Ukrainian officials say a Russian drone and missile strike damaged a grain silo, oil terminals, and other infrastructure critical for storage and shipping. Attacks in other parts of the country have killed 5 civilians and wounded 13 in the past day. Jews around the world are marking one of the holiest days of the year, Yom Kippur. Reporter Yotam Confino is in Tel Aviv.
It's a day of fun for children in Israel. All traffic comes to a halt for 25 hours, leaving highways empty for children to ride their bikes and skateboards. 14-year-old Tal Lazar says it's one of his favorite times of the year.
There are people on the streets walking around. You see everyone riding their bikes. It's a big social event, and I just love it.
Many adults fast, pray, and go to synagogue to atone for their sins.
They're dealing with a new public health problem in parts of California. Powerful winter storm, summer heat, and Tropical Storm Hillary are blamed for a surge of invasive day-biting Aedes mosquitoes. They've spawned the first reported human cases of West Nile virus in years. S&P futures down 10. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Approximately 100 workers from the Stellantis parts plant in Bayview have joined the UAW strike that encompasses employees from major automakers. The workers, along with thousands of their counterparts, are advocating for significant pay and benefit enhancements, including a 40% salary increase. Local political and labor leaders in Milwaukee have thrown their support behind the strike. Wisconsin's top Democratic senator has introduced legislation to legalize recreational marijuana for adults, citing the precedent set by neighboring states like Illinois, Michigan, and Minnesota. Despite previous attempts, State Senator Melissa Agard has been unsuccessful in gaining support for marijuana legalization in the state. She says the majority of Wisconsin residents, including many Republicans, support legalizing marijuana. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, That's design.garden.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station, The Maggie Dawn Show.
My immediate thought when I read about this and then watched it today was, please don't die, Senator McConnell. I couldn't disagree more strongly with Senator McConnell's policy positions, but he has been one of the only elected officials that's in a leadership position for the Republican Party that hasn't completely supplicated himself to Donald Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you. Cheers.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday, that means Mondays, with my co-host Sandy Williams. Sandy, you did had a really good show on Friday.
Well, you'll be the judge of that, not me. It was fun.
I'm serious. You covered a lot of different topics, and you had a good friend on.
Yeah, Mike Munson. He's an interesting bloke.
Yeah.
And then I have to confess, you just spent an hour talking about the Packer game, but I'll confess that I was one of those that went and did something up to something else after the first half. And my son went all the way up to Lambeau Field with his whole family and left at the beginning of the fourth quarter when it was 17-3. Figured this is a goner.
So anybody, and Gilbert said this, but anybody who tells me, because it was actually 11 minutes into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And they hadn't scored at all. And there was no sign to say. And what really changed it was a couple long pass interference
plays. Yeah. Well, Love has some things to learn. The first half, he was throwing it over the inside shoulder, not the outside shoulder. And there was a long touchdown pass that was overthrown. And
yeah.
So,
interception.
Yeah. So he gets those things pinned down and we can really get going. And, he is a sidearm slinger, apparently, not an overhand passer.
Right.
So we'll see how that works out in the long run. But,
he is a tall guy, too.
Good runner.
Yeah.
He was surprised. I think they're going to do just fine with him. I'm not sure
he's not Aaron Rodgers.
He might not be, but we don't need to compare him to that. But the team, we don't spend enough time talking. We're in such a world of celebrities that we all want to talk about people, not teams. Their defense, again, they gave up one touchdown.
I was telling Gilbert all the time during the preseason. I watch the preseason games. They've got talent up and down the line.
Yeah.
And so if a guy gets hurt, the next man up with their defense is a star, a talented player.
Yeah, I mean, the special teams gave up a touchdown. The defense gave up one touchdown and one field goal. Now, that's sterling defense.
Look, when we're talking about the fact, and people may say, well, the defense aren't what they used to be. Well, the Denver Broncos gave up 70 points. Contrast that, Sandy.
Yeah, there is. Packers. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's 10 times as many as touchdowns, at least. Maybe there is karma, because I think Peyton, the coach of the Broncos, was saying a lot of derogatory things about his predecessor.
Right.
And then had to kind of suck those words back. And he didn't suck them back fast enough, because karma has hit him square in the face.
70 points, Sandy.
Wow.
The worst score since 53 years ago.
Yeah, 66.
Yeah, 53 years ago. But listen. I want to talk about Menendez. I want to talk about
speaking about routes.
Yeah, Sandy. So when Clarence Thomas, Menendez, many others that we don't even know and what's going on. Menendez had been challenged once before on his ethics. Are these people the exception, or do you think that somewhere down the road there's a lot more that's going on?
I think the bright line of ethics has been totally obliterated in Washington, and I think it's a slow process but a rapid one. It starts with dinners out with lobbyists, and then the dinner out is at the Homestead, a beautiful resort someplace close to Washington, D.C., and not in D.C., and the family gets to go there on a vacation, and then pretty soon it's a private jet flight to the Bahamas for a speech, you know, a 15-minute speech and an elaborate vacation for a family. And it goes on and on like that. And so the line gets blurred, and these people in Washington have gotten so used to operating in this, you know, in this area where ethics are not really a bright line at all. So people, you know, the world of giving speeches for very high remuneration, it's how senators make money. You know, it's the way that the people operate. It's the way Supreme Court justices apparently operate. So we need to get back to bright line tests, because it's clear that if you have a gray line, if you have judgment to be applied, if it's maybe this, maybe that, people will stretch that to the limit. And I knew this from 1970, just operating in state government, watching the game play out. And ethics for public figures needs to be a bright line test, and it needs to be essentially drawn at zero. There's no reason for a public figure to take benefits from a private interest, benefits from a private interest whatsoever.
You know, Sandy, it's the fox watching the hen house.
Yeah.
It's not only that, it's the fact that you can even see it in local government.
Absolutely.
Aldermen.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even county supervisors. I don't know, but I do know that there's money that all the people wind up with that didn't come, that comes from other places. And so the citizens can't mandate that. That has to come from the people that are elected themselves, right?
Sure. I mean, and you know how the temptation works, and it's not clear. There is probably a vague line. Let's say you're a municipal official. You understand where the municipality is going to be expanding its interest. You can get an understanding of where real estate might be more valuable than other places, and you begin to invest in real estate. That happens. And, you know, that's probably hard to stop. But we should understand that there's a gray line right there, you know, where people are using information that is not public information to profit in the marketplace. And it's very clear that many people in our Congress, House of Representatives and Senate, make a great deal of money in the stock market based on information they have about what government action might be and how it might affect the stock market, and they make money that way. So that might be a gray area. It's not clear. Is it public information? Is it not? But there are plenty of things that are very clear. You know, the lavish vacation for the family based on a 15-minute speech someplace. I mean, let's get up here.
Here's a congressman with gold bars and money stashed in his
hundreds of thousands of dollars of cash. Well, that's like remember Jefferson, the congressman from Louisiana who had the money in his freezer.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's called cold hard cash.
You know, Sandy, it really is. It's hard as a taxpaying person and a believer in the society to know. You kind of assume that those kind of things are going on, but then when a guy like Menendez gets caught, he doesn't even have enough self-respect to say, "Hey, okay, I did it.
My bad.
Yeah. The gig is up. So I'm going to take this and I had a good run of it. I'm going to resign." And so here we are. People blame us for saying that, you know, we don't say anything about the Democrats. Menendez, last time I checked, is a Democrat.
Yeah.
And what are we saying?
Yeah.
He has to pay a price for that. He should be gone.
He should be gone. And there's you know, there needs to be a cleanup in Washington, and it's totally bipartisan. It's totally Washington at large, but it needs to happen. And it won't. It isn't a witch hunt. Okay, it's not a witch hunt when you chase after people for doing the wrong thing. And it's not a witch hunt to chase Donald Trump. It might not be a witch hunt to chase Hunter Biden, right, and the likes. We need to chase all of them, and we need to clean the thing up, and we need to try and use our best perceptions to elect people who are most likely to be on the right side of all this. And this is all about, in some respects, this is all about K Street, okay? Because the dominance of money in Washington, which is funneled into Washington through the activities of lobbyists in Washington, plays a large part in all this, lining up the elaborate contacts, the elaborate value contacts, the speeches that pay huge remuneration, the elaborate vacations that are tied to them, all of that, okay? The insider information that's undoubtedly shared by lobbyists to some extent with Congress people. All of this needs to get policed. What do we have now? We have politicians attacking those people who would otherwise police this. You know, who is it that polices this? Well, the FBI is the people who police this. I think the FBI is the one that conducted the raid on Menendez's house.
Yeah. You know, Sandy, to somehow blame the FBI, well, you know, the FBI were in Mar-a-Lago and they did this, and so the FBI, they're bad people. Because they attacked Donald Trump. You're right, the FBI are the ones who did the same thing to Menendez.
Yeah, and incidentally, when the FBI raids a place, they aren't nice guys. I mean, when they come in to raid, they lock it down. They make sure that no one can get at anything so that they can, you know, I mean, the fact is that the way they handled the raid at Mar-a-Lago was probably quite standard. It's just that someone in a privileged position in government doesn't really like being treated in the standard manner.
You know, I was watching Mulholland Drive last night. You remember that movie? FBI.
Is that about an L.A. situation?
Yeah. L.A. and police and the FBI. But Sandy, I think when you know these kind of things are going on and the elections are happening and Donald Trump talks about rigged elections and all those. It does not look good when a Menendez does what he's done and he doesn't step forward and fall on the sword, which is what he should do.
Yeah, I mean, I would accuse that this talk about the deep state, the swamp that Trump keeps talking about, I think it exists, but I think it exists much more in the House of Congress and in K Street than it does in the halls of the civil servants of Washington. And this is like, again, the shiny object. We all get deflected to think that it's the civil servants in Washington that are the problem. That was how Ronald Reagan wanted to set the table for everyone to focus in that way. But the problem in Washington is money in Washington, and it's K Street and lobbying and the interests of big money in government that is the problem.
All right, we've got to go to a break. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Monday is Mondays with Sandy Williams as my co-host. We'll be right back.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Dig out. Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 71, southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows dip down to about 60. Overcast. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. High temperatures reach up to 67. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
The night was clear and the moon was yellow and the leaves came tumbling down. I was standing on the corner when I heard my dog bark. He was barking at the two men who were gambling in the dark. It was Staggerly and Billy, two men who were gambling. Staggerly threw seven, Billy swore that he threw away. Staggerly.
This makes everybody smile. What a great song.
All right. Welcome back. Staggerly. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same numbers. Monday, that means Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. Thank you for taking my call. Every time I've called you gentlemen, I've wanted accountability, whether it's Republicans or Democrats. And I wish it was the same on the Democrat side, because remember when Adam Pencilneck Shift was censored and the Democrats cheered him on after he lied to the American people, right along with the FBI? And Sandy, you're wrong. Social media was paid millions of dollars by the FBI. Proven fact. Mar-a-Lago was not a normal raid. They notified the press. They wanted it to be theatrics. And they denied, as we found out from the whistleblowers, they denied the FBI looking into Hunter and Joe Biden's paperwork the same way.
Well, we conflated a lot of things, but here we go, CJ. I think we all agree that we need to clean up Washington. We need to get money's influence out of Washington. You agree with that, don't you? Don't you? You agree that money in Washington is a corrupting influence, and it seems to be corrupting on both sides of the aisle. Would you agree with that?
No, I don't believe that.
You don't believe that money is corrupting both sides of the aisle? You don't believe that there's corruption in Washington based on the activities? You think it's restricted to the Democrats?
I believe there's corruption, Sandy, but I want accountability.
Well, that's what we're talking about. Well, that's what we're...
I want disclosure. Can I respond? I want disclosure on where the money's coming from, not hidden in packs that are, ironically named something about freedom because
absolutely.
CJ, we have
absolute agreement there. Dark money is bad, and there's plenty of euphemized PACs that are giving money to both sides of the aisle. Both sides of the aisle. I would say that almost every PAC has a euphemistic name that has to do with preserving freedom, or that's certainly not restricted to activities on the Democratic side. So, you know, if we can drop our partisan hats for a minute, I don't think anything that Earl and I were talking about prior to this call suggested that we were talking from a partisan standpoint. You know, whether the Mar-a-Lago raid received publicity at the time that it happened is a different story than whether it was conducted, you know, in terms of what was physically done during the raid. The Menendez raid apparently got a lot of coverage as well. There was nothing secret about it.
How about the fact that you didn't respond to Pencil Neck Shift, lying to the American people and costing $30 million on some false claim, and you cheer him on.
Has Donald Trump lied about anything?
What does that have to do with?
All I think, CJ, is that when in terms of having a conversation, instead of always trying to turn it to the partisan side, I mean, first of all, you certainly reveal partisanship by calling Schiff Pencil Neck Schiff. You know, that's an interesting name for him. But whether a politician in his public statements prevaricates or elaborates or fabricates is a different story than what we're talking about when we're talking about money under the table, when we're talking about money influencing politics, when we're talking about. So those are really kind of two different issues. And we weren't talking about the question of public statements, public activity in Congress. We were talking about something much different than that.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom.
Good morning. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Go Pack, go. We had a great, great game yesterday, and definitely there's a lot of love in Green Bay.
So Tom, why don't we do this, man? Because we got to go to a break.
No.
Hang on, and we'll get you after the break. All right.
For the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Tentative deal reached between striking Hollywood writers and the major studios. CBS Los Angeles, Lauren Posen.
Keep in mind, the actors are still on strike. So we basically have part of Hollywood back to work.
But WGA reaching this agreement, it's really encouraging for SAG-AFTRA because, remember, both unions were asking for similar demands.
Time's running out, and Republicans in the House can't agree on spending to keep the government up and running. Correspondent Nancy Cordes.
Congress now has just 5 days to either pass 12 annual bills to fund the government or pass a short-term fix.
New Jersey's Democratic Senator Bob Menendez is expected to go before the media this morning for the first time since he was indicted on bribery charges. CBS's Scott McFarlane is on Capitol Hill.
A defiant Menendez responded, "It is not lost on me how quickly some are rushing to judge a Latino and push him out of his seat. I'm not going anywhere."
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Around 100 employees at the Stellantis parts plant in Bayview are part of the UAW strike against major automakers. Those workers and thousands of others are seeking substantial pay and benefit increases, including a 40% raise. The strike has received support from local political and labor leaders in Milwaukee. The fate of the Milwaukee plant remains uncertain, as Stellantis had considered its closure prior to the strike. The mayor of Franklin held an emergency meeting with the owners of the Rock Sports Complex to address noise concerns. While complete agreement hasn't been reached, involved parties say progress has been made and that there is a beginning of a memorandum of understanding between the two. The meeting was called in response to increasing noise complaints from nearby residents. Neighbors in Franklin and Greendale say they've been making complaints for years. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. Sandy, I like to play a whole different array of music because the listening audience is so diverse, right?
Yeah, I like that. I like all of it. You make good choices.
All right. Yeah. Let's go back to Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Earl. Hey, Sandy. Sandy, I've got a couple questions for you. As I have talked about since the inception of the show, money and politics is the root of all of the problems that is going on and why it is that we, the people, actually don't have control over our government. But I just want to ask you, what court case was it that brought where corporations could give unlimited amounts of money to politicians? That's one question. I got one more.
Citizens United.
Okay. And what Supreme Court actually ruled in that case? Was that a conservative Supreme Court, or was that a more progressive Supreme Court?
Well, you know, we all know the vote of that was basically the conservative justices voting on one side and the liberal justices voting on another.
The only reason I bring that up is because of the fact that I hear this craziness all the time about, you know, how it's one side or the other side. And I agree with people. It is both sides. All of the Republicans are bought off, and probably half the Democrats are bought off. And that's probably true. But you know what? There is one party that established this money in politics thing to the nth degree by letting corporations be able to put money into PACs and all this stuff. And that was the conservative Supreme Court. And I think that record should definitely be known. And then also, I think it should also be known that there's been one party that has tried to get money out of politics through HR1 and different things where they did have the House of Representatives.
Well, I do think John McCain gets credit for the McCain-Feingold. You know, there was a time, and there were Republicans who saw this on the horizon, along with Russ Feingold and others. And I think that there are some people in Washington who would be interested on both sides of the aisle in cleaning up the money thing. The problem is it's a very small group. And the other problem is that politicians get to Washington fresh and clean and all set to go. And over a very short period of time, they all begin to understand that the rules of play there are different, and that it's okay to have lavish family vacations in exchange for a 15-minute after dinner speech and those kind of things that begun, you know, are ongoing. I think the public, I think you're on the right track. The public is the one that needs to stand up. The original argument of the conservatives was they needed to have money flowing more freely because they thought the labor unions had this advantage in being able to flow money from out of a big pocket, which was the labor union pocket. Of course, that was that's been shown to be fallacious in terms of the balance of power of money and where it comes from and how much there is. So now you've been fighting the good fight, Tom, and we need to get this. And the more things like Menendez happen, the more you realize that Menendez stepped over a line possibly
long ago,
but now the rest of the Washington will have to hold their nose and pretend that he stinks and no one else does. And they'll run him out without doing a self-evaluation that evaluates how it is that everyone there just about is on the verge of some form of ethical corruption, if not legal corruption.
All right, let's go to Charles from Green Bay. Good morning to you, Charles. How you doing, man? Thank you for the call.
Earl, thanks for having me. And Sandy, I love what you have to say about, you know, corruption and stuff like that, because it's true. The thing is that, okay, first of all, I'm going to talk about CJ. One, why, you know, did anybody call anybody a name other than CJ? No. You know, where's the respect that you should have? I don't care if you hate the person, if you think the person is weak or whatever, or you know, whatever. You know, doesn't matter, you know, color, race, whatever. You don't call people names and try to shove that down someone's throat, because that's disrespectful. I don't know how old CJ is, but I will tell you this, that when I was raised, you know, and we've talked about this before, respect, morals, and ethics were a part of life. You never said bad things about your parents. You never said bad things about your grandparents. I remember my grandfather and I did something and, you know, I paid for it.
Do you think Donald Trump grew up with that same kind of, because Donald Trump has zero respect, and so people think it's funny when he uses all those derogatory terms to you know, to talk about anybody who he doesn't agree with.
Well, let me leap in here too. I think we have a problem with social media. I think that the whole the whole hashtag process involves calling people names. The messages that precede the hashtag are usually derogatory names, and then the hashtag itself is usually some sort of process of sarcastic humor. I just think we've lost civility, but I think the presidential role model we had from 2016 to 2020 has played a big role in a loss of civility as between individuals in the process of debating ideological things. We ought to be able to have ideological discussions without name-calling, because name-calling is the polarization that destroys the conversation.
Charles?
To answer your question, Earl, no, I don't think he was held responsible at all as a young child. I don't think he was raised by a nanny. His mom and dad didn't care what he did. He probably bought his way through college and high school and all the schools, whatever he claims he went to. But the point is, I don't hear Obama calling people names. I don't hear George W. Bush calling names. I don't hear George Bush calling names. I don't hear Jimmy Carter calling names. I don't hear Joe Biden calling names. All I hear is Mr. Trump, because I can't call him president because I don't respect him for his behavior. I just find it to be absolutely appalling that, oh, Sleepy Joe or Shifty Joe.
Well, yes, it's childishness, and it should not merit any respect. I agree with you, Charles. Thank you very much for the call.
Let's be good. Bye.
Yeah, let's go back to CJ. CJ, quickly.
Thank you again for taking my call, because giving me the chance to defend myself. All those name calling things, you know what? It doesn't change the fact that Adam Schiff cost the American taxpayers $20+ million. The Durham report, take the time to read it. It'll show you corruption. Special Counsel Durham was not assigned to charge anyone.
CJ, we don't have time to go back through all these things that you always want to bring up. So, you know, those things are done and over with. You've already talked about it a million times. The point that Charles is making is right. I mean, what's the point in you know, calling people names? It's childish.
Okay. I get a kick out of it because that's what President Trump called them. But you don't understand that President Trump is mad because the FBI spied on him, lied about him.
Well,
Hillary Clinton's campaign paid for it. Read the Durham report.
Well, all right, CJ, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, no, I mean, the Durham report, people
hold that out.
Well, and we don't, you know, we somehow put a great deal more credence in the Durham report than we do in the Mueller report, both of whom were now attacked post hoc as being partisan in terms of their approach to the thing. Durham was appointed by Trump, and Mueller was not appointed
right.
by Trump. So that apparently makes a big difference. And you know, I suspect that both of them are faulted and faulty for the same reason. Both of them, however, followed the process of having a special counsel who's supposed to take things out of the partisan realm.
Let's go to Curtis from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Curtis. You say what? Curtis.
Yeah, how you doing?
Yeah. Hello? All right.
Yeah, I must say I must say the last phone call was terrible.
That's okay.
It is really sad that people have to,
go
people
ahead.
Have to like make fun of to big itself. But going back to the Sandy, you're awesome. But the whole thing about it is people have to understand if the government shuts down again, it's gonna cost us billions of dollars.
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah. In fact, CJ should be reminded that you know, he's talked about 20 million that supposedly is attributable to something that Adam Schiff did. But if the government shuts down, apparently, just the confusion and the disarray that's caused by the shutdown comes with billion-dollar price tags, not million-dollar price tags.
You know, Sandy, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about the what appears to be almost no chance that it won't be a government shutdown. This will be the fourth government shutdown in recent history, and all four will be orchestrated by the Republican Party.
I'm not sure it's just recent history. I think it might be the only four government shutdowns that ever occurred.
So, Sandy, what are they looking to get out of shutting down the government?
And you can look at the occurrences of it, and without being partisan, you simply look at who were the moving parties to create the shutdown, and I don't know if it's ironic, coincidental, or purposeful, but in all four circumstances, it was the Republican caucuses that prompted and motivated the shutdown and were the motivating factor behind it. And my problem with government shutdowns is it clearly is disarray. It clearly is chaos, and it's chaos as an alternative to an orderly governmental process of bipartisan negotiation over budgets, right? And we have a split process. We have a Republican House of Representatives, a slightly Democratic Senate, and a Democratic president. And that's the situation in which negotiation would occur. But in this case, it's basically strike, okay? I'm sure that the Republican caucus is very much against union strikes. But the fact is that a government shutdown is tantamount to a strike. It's basically the opposite of a strike. It's a shutdown. But it's the same sort of chaotic, and it's a process designed to create a different atmosphere for negotiation, and it's an atmosphere that puts the government, the people, at peril. Okay, so it's holding the people hostage to the implications of a government shutdown instead of an orderly government process.
But you know, Sandy, to say basically, we can't work this out. We're not going to be able to reasonably have this conversation.
Well, incidentally,
we're going to take our balls and go home.
Right, but there has been no press coverage for the last year, because I believe there probably has been little or no ongoing negotiation between the parties, other than hard lines, about what it is that should comprise the budget. So the fact is that we don't have orderly government ongoing. All we have is a deadlock until we get to a point where there is a lever to pull, which basically costs the people and costs the United States Treasury a great deal of money, because government shutdowns are very much like the refusal to increase the debt limit. Same people pulling the lever, which is going to, in the long run, endanger the dollar as the world currency, endanger our status, our financial status as a creditor, and a debtor. So I think that it's a very dangerous policy, and one in which I think the majority of the Republican caucus even realizes the danger of this.
Right.
And this is all just a function of a very small group of people in the Republican caucus deciding to take charge.
All right, we've got to go to a break. Ken, I see you. 844-967-2789 is the number. You can join the conversation. It's Mondays with Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on your nut.
But...
riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 70. Winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered storms tonight. Lows dip down to about 60. Cloudy skies expected. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Highs level off around 67. Overcast skies.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera.
All right. Yeah, I've been around a while.
Yeah, yeah. This was, she was in all the sweet movies.
Oh, yeah. The Doris Day.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let's go to Ken from good morning to you, Ken. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. What do you think of the latest polls where Trump is leading Sleepy Joe by over 10%? What's your opinion on that?
Fiction. But anyway, go ahead, Sandy.
Well, I think polls are polls. It depends on who's doing the poll and who they poll. And I think that it is true that he might be leading him in polls. And to me, that's kind of horrifying in a way, just because I think it's a demonstration that both parties are unable to field the candidate that the people want. And so we end up with this kind of outcome in polling. Whatever polls say, they say, and they vary from day to day, and they vary from who does it. But I think the American people deserve far better.
Thank you, Ken. You know, Sandy, it's a frightening time. We got a major election coming up next year, and the fact that we don't know.
Our presidency should not be a booby prize, okay? And I'm afraid that that's what this kind of polling suggests we're into right now, because those same people who are polled, if asked about whether they would prefer some other candidate to be running, would vote that they would prefer other candidates to be running. And there are plenty of polls that verify that conclusion. So, it's worrisome to me, and it's worrisome to me because I think we've become a world of celebrity. When we talk about sports teams, we only talk about the quarterbacks. When we talk about parties, we only talk about candidates. We don't talk about platforms or policy. We should be talking about policy. We shouldn't be talking about the polls associated with who's running for president. We ought to be talking about what it is those presidents would want to do in the presidency when they get elected.
Okay? You know, Sandy, I'm frightened about the future, because when people can clearly see, I listened to some of the things Donald Trump said this past week, and he's the same guy. While you would think that there were some things that he would have learned during the 4 years or 3 years since, that maybe he would have learned that maybe I shouldn't say this, I shouldn't. Well, but he's turned those things up.
Yeah, I mean, he goes on the stand, up on the stage to talk, and you can tell there's not been a minute of forethought. It's a stream of conscience, in which he spills out of his brain whatever he imagines, right?
Right.
So I might agree with some concepts about rethinking our Ukraine policy, but I'm not doing that because I believe that Donald Trump is correct. You know, he said recently that we were into Ukraine by over $200 billion and that we were, and that Europe needed to be asked to step up and that we shouldn't give money until Europe does. Well, the facts are quite the reverse. You know, we're under $100 billion in Europe as a whole, which is a mass and an economy that's smaller than the United States in any case, has given more than $100 billion by quite a bit. So we're actually behind Europe in that regard. So, if we're going to make public policy, we at least ought to do it on factually accurate terms. And my concern about Donald Trump is that facts and Donald Trump are oxymorons. Okay, that they don't relate to one another. He doesn't relate to them. And we need a leader who will have an honest policy discussion with us based on facts and let us all make correct decisions. But we shouldn't operate in a world of fiction.
You know, Sandy, I watched his speech in Iowa the last time he was there, and he's still the same, you know, guy. From the perspective of, you know, just trying to entertain people.
Right. Like pencil. I mean, like, I think CJ was very accurate. He finds it entertaining to talk about pencil neck Schiff, right? That's entertainment, but that's not facts.
Yeah, but we don't want an entertainer as the president of the United States.
Well, apparently, unfortunately, in 2016, we decided more or less that we did, because what Donald Trump really had going for him was, a sort of a faltering business reputation, but he had The Apprentice as a TV show that was a major hit, and it was a reality type TV show. And the star of that reality show was Donald Trump.
I never saw The Apprentice, and so I don't know whatever it was that people got from that. But I don't know how you can say, with all the things that are going on in the world today, Sandy, that it's the right thing for our nation to have that man, give that man another 4 years. I don't know how people can come to that conclusion. And right now, it's frightening that there are still people who should know better who are coming to that conclusion.
Well, I think the people, even the people who favor him, grant all those faults and still prefer him for reasons that are subconscious even to them. I think he's attractive. I think he's attractive to the people who follow him, much the same way that a flame is attractive to a moth. And you know what happens to moths and flames? They get too close to the flames, and it kills them.
Right.
And you can tell that because you can see that in the bottom of the lantern at the end of an evening, a bunch of dead moths.
Right.
So this is a subconscious drive, It's the genius of Donald Trump. He knows how to tap into the subconscious fears and to draw allegiance from people without substance.
Look, we got to go. Sandy, thank you as always. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
Will be. When I grew up and fell in love, I asked my sweetheart, what lies ahead? Will we have rainbows day after day? Here's what my sweetheart said. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. What will be. Now I have children of my own. They ask their mother, what will I be? Will I be handsome? Will I be rich? I tell them tenderly. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.